Good morning. My name is Monica Cornetti, and I'm your host for the weekly Gamification Talk radio program. You can read more about the work I'm doing in gamification at www.monicacornetti.com. Just put a forward slash there and then the word gamification. And if you're not even sure what gamification is, take a look at that page because it'll help you to understand it. This morning, as we're talking on this radio program, I'm excited because I have a special guest that I met a couple years ago now. We were both at an event in Seattle, Washington, and I heard him speak. And when you're at an event that is an event for speakers and everyone's attending is a speaker, that's a hard audience. And John just knocked it out of the park. I was so excited when he asked about being a guest on the program. I was like, yes, absolutely. Please come on. And what John focuses on is team building, and what we're going to be talking about today is what we're calling conference gamification, and it's really where meetings meet games. And if you've ever been tasked to plan a corporate or an association meeting, and if you struggled with how to get engagement from your attendees at the meetings, or if you're tired of the same old thinking and the same old thing and you're looking for that latest feature or what's the latest trend, what's the cutting edge technology people are using. And I know with a lot of associations that we work with, they're having a really tough time getting that younger audience interested. So if you want to look at attracting and retaining millennials and that gamer generation, John is literally pulling back the curtain to share with us his 17 years of corporate team building experience and then his past 4 years where he's incorporated the gamification element into that whole conference experience. And sometimes, well, not sometimes, most times people are afraid of new things. They're afraid of new. But after you hear John today and you hear about what he's been able to achieve, I believe that you'll be ready to dive in to using game mechanics to improve the networking, the education, and the engagement at your meetings and conferences. And the cool thing is, when I saw John speak, it was an intimate kind of brainstorming session. So there were probably maybe less than 20 people in that room. But the cool thing is, what John has is scalable and what he's going to talk with us about. So you can do it from like 20 to 3,000. It's totally scalable. So before we get started, I want to give you a brief background on John. John Chen is our guest, and he is a digital team building expert. He's the CEO of GeoTeaming, which specializes in corporate team building and leadership programs. They use technology and adventure in their team building. John is the author of the book published by Wiley Publishers. It's called 50 Digital Team Building Games. Now, there's a ton of books out there, and in the Nielsen BookScan Top Business Books, this book, 50 Digital Team Building Games, is ranked number 47 out of probably millions in the category. And then he's also ranked number 24 on the 800 CEO Read, the top list of top business booksellers. John and his team have completed over 1,100 team building events with over 100,000 clients. That's a lot of experience. Listen to some of John's awards. He's earned the Puget Sound's Business Journal's Top 40 Entrepreneur Under the Age of 40 Award, the Better Business Bureau's Innovative Practices Award, Meeting Professionals International Supplier of the Year, and Training Magazine's Top Young Trainer. Again, this guy's got the goods. He knows from which he speaks, which he's going to share with us today. Look down below in the text. You'll see that his Twitter handle is @BigKid. And you'll see that he's earned that reputation because he understands the business value of serious play. John, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. And I know you're getting some time away and doing kind of a working vacation. So thank you for sharing your time with us today. I really appreciate you being on the program.
No problem, Monica. What a fantastic intro. Thank you so much.
Well, I was hoping to do you justice. Let's talk about, I really didn't talk about your Microsoft experience, and I know that you were involved in, you know, project management and design and engineering, and you had this great success, and you were working inside a corporation. Let's start there. Let's talk about your time at Microsoft.
Yeah, I spent a decade at Microsoft, and that's really where I started getting into team building, and more importantly, is cross-team collaboration and gamification. And so, again, I held the three main jobs at Microsoft, which are software design, engineer, and test. a software design engineer and a program manager. And so for those who aren't coders, it basically means I used to write code to break code, and then I used to write code, and then I used to tell people what code to write. So those are the three things that I really did at Microsoft.
You were responsible for getting how many products?
So I had 10 products over the course of 10 years, and the biggest one that I really worked on that also really led me to a lot of my team building experience was Exchange. So Microsoft Exchange was basically the first client-server email project, which basically meant that all the mail that you have is actually in some kind of relational database on the server. And so the advantage for that is like you could take your laptop and you could take a shotgun, blow a hole in it, put a new laptop, connect to your email, and all your email would be back instantly. And so that was kind of the concept, and it was really one of the first to do that. And during that time, basically we had a revolving door for a couple years there. They basically had four general managers in 5 months at one time. And so the project was kind of spinning. And eventually, they got a guy. His name was Brian Valentine, and he was known as a closer, meaning that he could finish the product, which was obviously really important. And what happened then is that they it was the combination of eight internal products that had either been bought or developed internally and been put together. And so the first time someone tried to send email to it, so say, Monica, you sent email to 10 people. Basically, your computer fell over for 24 hours and didn't return control to you. For 24 hours. So they had a slight performance problem.
Yeah.
So Brian got a team. There was like over 300 developers. And for anybody who's worked on technical projects, you know that sometimes adding more developers just extends the time for a project instead of making it shorter. But mm-hmm. He took 14 of us. I was the lead on one of the teams. And he sat us in a room and he basically said, we have a slight performance problem and now it's all of your jobs to fix it. And then he gets up and he leaves.
Well, I guess that's a form of leadership, right? You guys figure it out. You guys know what you're doing, figure it out, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a form of leadership or a form of a Microsoft interview question, except we were already there. So,
yeah, right.
So we looked at each other and we did what everybody does, you know, when you have a multi-team project and it's not working, right? Do you know what that is?
Blame each other?
Yes, we blamed all the other teams.
Your fault.
So that's right. So we went to the eight different components and we figured out, you know, you're slow. And they came back to us with tests and they said, no, we're fast for what we're designed for. So we ended up having to take another track. And then we finally decided, I made a deal. I knew the developer lead for the server side and I made a deal with him. He actually was spitting out a big debug log. And so I wrote a customized program for it and worked with him so that we were able to see every piece of communication between the client and server and between all the eight different teams. So basically, we built a map, and we've discovered something important, which was in this case, and this is where, you know, this is gaming, but at the mm-hmm. same time, it becomes very serious, is that we measured something very simple, reading a piece of email. It took 47 round trips to the server to read one piece of email. And again, for those who aren't technical, it was like having 47 $1 bills, picking up a dollar bill, driving to the bank, writing a deposit slip, depositing it, driving home, and then doing it 46 more times. It was just really efficient. So,
right.
So we found that out. And what we did with this is that we led through a project. And this really has got me to where, you know, again, it's not around team building, but it's also around team-to-team building, is that we took leaders from each of the groups, and we mapped out these functions, and we got them all into a room. And I said, okay, well, you know, we tried to blame you guys. That didn't work. And you know, I'm never going to be have enough knowledge to fix each of your components and know exactly what's going on. So all we know is this. This is what's happening when we're working, you know, interacting with the server. It, you know, it's taking 47 round trips to read one piece of email. And again, it's I'm not going to be smart enough to solve all your problems. All I know is this is what's going on and we need to fix it. So they looked and each person had a map of everything that was going on with their. And they took 2 minutes, at least 2 minutes. It was 2 minutes of almost pure silence where each of the developers were like looking at this list and trying to decide what to do. And it was the longest 2 minutes that I've ever had in my life of silence because I had no idea what was going to happen. Right? Are they going to blame me? Are they going to riot? So finally they started talking and going, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you calling these two things? Why can't we work together? Why can't we combine our information so that, you know, we can make less round trips? So out of that meeting, we generated over 50 ideas, and over the course of 2.5 years, we were able to get this program to take that – actually, that reading that piece of email, we went from 47 round trips to a theoretical minimum of zero.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that's so good, and what you're talking about is a precursor to that technique, it's so good about getting your teams that visual explanation of what's going on. Because a lot of times how people think a process or a system flow is working is not their perception of how it works and how it actually works are two different things. And getting it mapped out, like, that's such a great technique and strategy to really start getting people moving in the direction they need to. Plus, I like that, you know, here's where we are. Here's where we need to be. How are we going to get there? You're at Microsoft. You've got this success there, and you decide I'm throwing corporate America to the wind and going out there and starting my own business.
Yeah.
Just at coffee one afternoon. You just thought, that's it. I'm done.
Well, the success we had at Microsoft led on to that, which is, again, we got two US patents for that, and that product went on to sell. I actually got invited to the 100 million client license party, and then subsequently to that, I got invited to the 150 million client license party. And so that just really shows you the effect that you can have, you know, on a product.
Right.
When the teams really work together. Now, my transition actually is a really interesting transition, which is I used to have this question that went around in my head all the time, which was, I always knew there was something I was supposed to do. I just don't know what it is. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I had actually been doing a lot of personal development work, and one of my coaches at the event, you know, most people, when they ask that question, they're like, yeah, me too, or, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. And this guy, he's the only guy who ever said, give me a weekend and I'll tell you exactly what it is.
Wow.
That's an enticing offer, isn't
it? Yeah.
So at the time, you know, I had money and time, and I said, so what's the worst thing I could do, right? At least invest in this, figure out what it is. So I flew down to Huntington Beach, and in a weekend, he's an executive coach. We wrote the entire business plan in what I affectionately call the Jerry Maguire experience. Wrote the entire business plan in 48 hours.
Wow. And, well, that's good. So it's all inside of you. You just needed somebody to help you get it out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just spent the next 2.5 years trying to leave working on leaving Microsoft, making a plan to leave Microsoft and doing this business part time. And I formed in 1997, and in 1999, I was able to leave Microsoft and start this company full time. And now it's been 17 years since I started the company.
Listeners, I put the web address down below for GeoTeaming. It's geoteaming.com. Just go out there and take a look at the work. There's pictures, and then you can go over to the site where he has all of the pictures stored from the different events. And when you start looking at the quantity of people and organizations that have been touched by this technique that John is bringing into the mix, which is really different than what most people get comfortable and settle into. I want to shift to that. Where did this passion for gaming come from?
Oh, geez. I think it started really, really early. I think I have a very funny trait, which I think when I was a kid, if I got a new game, I would play the game myself with multiple players just to try and figure out, you know, what were the mechanics for it, how to win the game.
Yeah.
And that's continued on. I'm really passionate around all four sorts of different kinds of games, you know, from board games to digital games, and looking at that. And I actually did some research earlier too, where, you know, games have been a part of human culture for, you know, a very, very long time. I think in a recent presentation, I found a slide that was an archaeological slide of some bones that were turned into dice, right? So gaming has been in our DNA, I think, for a long time. And for me, I just naturally gravitated there. And so that's where I've gotten really passionate around gaming. And then, again, in my 17 years of corporate team building is trying to look at, like, how to build games or initiatives that really have a learning purpose with them. And so I'm really passionate around that because I've been greatly affected personally by that, too. You know, things like roped courses and other types of experiential initiatives I've been able to use to create, you know, great personal and business change. And I think this is just much more powerful mechanism than just learning about something by a book, is that having the emotional experience in addition to, you know, what meaning you get from it is something I'm extraordinarily passionate about.
You can look at the studies that show about movement of any kind helps that retention of the learning to stick. And then adding some kind of emotional level to it also amps it up even more. So when we're looking at traditional corporate learning where it's just lecture, 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 information, 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 dull, boring, stick a pencil in my eye, kill me now, you know, we're wanting knowledge transfer to happen. And it's not that the intentions aren't good. The intentions are good. It's just that the delivery method, we settle into ruts. And it's not like a judgment or a blame of the trainers or the talent development, because I know that they're given absolutely no time and no budget to make things happen. The cool thing is, though, is that a lot can happen without it having to be like the technology that you use. You showed us a lot of simple things that you can get out and start using right away. So I want us to get into that. How did you get started in conference gamification? This is new. I mean, most people you talk to don't even know what gamification is, let alone adding it to conferences. So how'd you get started in that?
Yeah, actually, in conference gamification too, in the recent polls that I've done, again, a lot of the word gamification is getting around. So at least 50-60% of people are starting to at least know what gamification is. But in terms of meeting planners and people who work inside the meeting industry, only 10% have really been able to either experience gamification or have led a gamification effort themselves of it. So I got started in it about 4 years ago. And we really started to identify, you know, things that have already been happening. A lot of people, of course, were using games, let's say, on trade show floors. So they were doing, you know, like trade show bingo or something mm-hmm. else like that, where you get things like, you know, points for visiting locations with that. And once we started to see the aspect of mobile technology really come on, the app started to really give us another avenue where we could add an extra element for games. So, yeah, the final step about conference gamification really came is when Betsy Bondurant is a consultant for training at MPI, or Meeting Professionals International. And she finally called me and she said, we want to stop talking about conference gamification and we want to actually do something about it. And so she helped me run conference gamification for the first time for an 1,800-person conference about 4 years ago. And that was really one of the first experiences that we had with that in terms of creating a game and getting people to engage not only for the three key goals, which was networking, education, and sponsor value, as they really had a premier sponsor that was paying for this effort to make it happen in the first year. And we've learned so much from them. But the first year's experience were so much fun and interesting. It's like the top players were really battling it out, and we got key engagement. And we really found that the people who were playing the game, of course, experienced everything that the meeting planner or the meeting organizers wanted them to experience with it, that it's led us on to, you know, multiple experiences over the past 4 years, gamifying conferences, again, anywhere from, you know, 100 to 200 people to now over 3,000 people.
Wow. Yeah, 1,800 is not a small conference to start with. That's a pretty big jumping right in the deep end. That's a nice size conference. When you look at the engagement that you're getting, and like, what are you seeing as far as the engagement in the conference gamification?
It really comes, I think, from a different couple of perspectives. The first one is, which was, I think, the most important, is the attendee perspective. And the results for the attendees are amazing. The ones who play really, really get into it and get a lot of value from it. In fact, we have a great interview from one of the conferences that we worked on was called BB World, for Blackboard World. It's an educational piece of software. And one of the attendees, he made some very funny comments, such as, you know, I said, did this change your conference experience? And he goes, oh, to a huge degree. He says, usually I'm a foodie. I'm all over the food, but I really didn't eat that much, right? So it was very funny. Then he talked about, you know, on the first night, he had only like 3-10% battery life for like 2 hours. So he goes, you know, I had to really manage my battery life while trying to complete all the missions. But most of all, he really said this. He said, you know, I woke up every morning ready, saying, looking for new missions, and saying at its go time that he was looking forward to finding out, you know, what new missions was he going to have that day, and what was he going to get a chance to do that he would not normally get to do. In the end, this is a guy who won the contest, and this conference happened to be in New Orleans. And unbeknownst to us, the organizers were so excited to see his participation that they invited him to be part of the closing party We were in the place where they store the Mardi Gras floats, and they invited him to be with the other Blackboard executives to throw out beads to all the people coming into the party. And he said that just changed his experience immensely. And I said, you know, will you be back to this conference? And he goes, I'll be back to this conference every single year, right? This experience was extraordinary. Yeah. So that's the first perspective.
If you've been to conferences before, and again, this is not, there's never, I don't have any negative. We just know what we know. And so we can only do what we know. I've been, of course, at the conferences where you have the little kind of tic-tac-toe card and you're supposed to go around to the vendors and get those checked off and then turn this in. And again, the vendors have spent money to be there. We want them interacting with the participants. So anything we can do to raise that at all. But what I hear you saying is that you take that concept to a whole new level by creating different missions. And from what I hear, you didn't roll out all those missions at once. Like, here's the list. It's like they're waking up to see, well, what's the missions for today? What do I need to do? What do I need to accomplish? How do I win? How do I master this? So that sounds really, really interesting.
Yeah. So the second perspective really comes from most of the time of who's funding the game. So a lot of people say, well, I don't have budget for this. And I said, well, one of the ways that you can budget this is to get the people who, you know, are already helping to underwrite the conference, which is your trade show and your sponsor people. And so some of the techniques that we have with this that we've developed over the years is that we just don't make a mission too to just stop by. So you can't just do a drive-by mission, mm-hmm. right? Monica Check. Takes a photograph yeah. and takes off, right? We yes. really look at engagement, and we work with every single – let's say it is a trade show. We work with them to do something unique that they have to engage with the people, and we really work with them to see what's the one fact they want them to remember about this booth. And so like a very fun example is in one of the recent conferences is they just wanted people to remember – that they were, let's see, oh, who's the guy who stars in Say Anything in the movie? Oh, John Cusack, right?
Right, right.
They wanted people to remember that we're like the John Cusack of their industry. And so they actually had a photograph mission where they had a life-size John Cusack with the radio and the trench coat jacket that he has in this famous scene in there. Mm-hmm. And they got people to take that photograph and then remember one of the key facts from them. And so we got really fun engagement, and people remembered that while learning something valuable from each of these. And so that's one of the first parts that we do is that we custom design every mission so that it engages the attendee in some ways and the vendor really gets to meet someone. And then some of the results that have come out of that, one of the lead sponsors, San Francisco Travel, I got to talk to John Reyes, who's like the senior VP there who underwrote this program. And he goes, you know, we love this program because it actually turned the networking game on its head. So instead of us as suppliers chasing meeting planners around for the entire meeting, it turned it around where meeting planners who were playing the game were trying to search us out because we were worth, you know, 3,000 points. Mm-hmm. And he said that the bottom line result is that it led to over 450 face-to-face visits that he wouldn't have had to have. And that to him alone was worth the price that they paid for the sponsorship.
Right. That's really powerful. It sounds like there's so much good stuff involved with it. It's taking what you had from your background and then knowing what works at conferences and what's not. Are you seeing a younger demographic getting involved with it? Because that's one of the areas I know every association's struggling with, getting that younger demographic in. So are they engaging?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there's two key profiles to really look at, too, that it's not just millennials. But millennials are there. And again, one of the reasons why this program works is that it's engaging them on a platform they're already at, which is their phone. Recently, we saw that there has actually been an increase that the average time that someone looks at their phone per day moved up from 150 to 214 times a day.
Wow. Yeah.
So why fight that? Why don't you go ahead and engage them where they're at? Because if your conference is not engaging, they're looking at their phone, but they're doing something else that is not related to your conference. So why not engage them there? And what we've seen is that, again, millennials also, too, won't come to conferences if they can get the information online or somewhere else. And so, again, you have to provide a unique experience at the conferences for them to come back and be engaged and want to come back again the second year. So we've seen that with the millennials because, again, they're very comfortable with the technology. They're usually the ones who are leading other people to install. But in addition to that, surprisingly, we found that it's kind of like a psychographic. There is a gamer profile, and it kind of spans a lot of different ages. In fact, one of our top winners for a conference, he was 42 years old. And he just got into the game and completely got into it and won the game. And when we interviewed him afterwards, you know, we found out that he also had played other games online and board games and other types of things. So there is a gamer profile out there that spans a lot of different ages that, again, if they like games, this will engage them and it will definitely get everybody. Which actually leads me to some key important parts around engagement. There's two things that we've seen in terms of engagement. One is sometimes the early law of what we call 99-1, which is 90% of the people will either casually look at the game or may not engage. 9% will really get into the game. And then there's a super set of users, the 1% who are trying to win the game. And so that's the default that will happen without doing some extra things inside the game. But we've also developed some other techniques, whether it's an organized game at the beginning of the first night, or it's getting an executive on stage to complete one of the missions or be part of one of the missions, where we've been able to get engagement. Like without some of these items, engagement will be anywhere between 10 to 20% of an audience. But we've gotten engagement as high as 50, 60, and in a recent conference, 90% of the key audience that they were looking for had logged into the game and completed at least one mission. So the results can vary widely on your gamification, depend upon what you're doing before and during the conference.
That's great. That's really good. In fact, that was going to be one of my questions, is we're really not expecting much more than 20% to actually engage. And so you just answered that. And, you know, people, they want that social proof. I have a colleague who always says that no one wants to be first. Everybody wants to be second. When they see that it's okay to do this, you get somebody up there of influence completing a mission, and they can see that, okay, it's okay for me to actually relax and try this out and enjoy it. And that's really good results, John. What do you see as the future for conference gamification?
Well, just to add on to that last comment, and then we can talk a little bit about the future, is that it's not only, you know, interesting or safe, is that people are starting to see it now as strategic. In a recent meeting, we had a senior executive come back afterwards and ask a whole bunch of questions about the game. Oh, he was the one who were giving the prizes away from the game. And he suddenly realized one of their goals is that they had a trade show. And the year before, they had a trade show. And within an hour, everybody had left. So they spent all this energy on a trade show and nobody stayed. This year, when we ran the game with it, not only did they stay the entire 3.5 hours, when the executives tried to give away the prize, the audience wouldn't stop talking. So it's like an interesting problem to have. And then finally, the group not only stayed, they stayed an hour after they closed the bars, which is usually the signal.
Yeah,
the end.
Right. Bars closed, we're gone.
The conference organizer walked through the hotel bar afterwards, and it was packed, like on a, you know, Tuesday night, and it was full of all of their people. And she just goes, "This result is extraordinary." So yeah. Again, these are some of the what we see is the future for this is in terms of gamification is that I think we're going to see more integration. You know that most conferences you go to that there's an app that goes along with the event that will show you your schedule and who's there.
Right.
I think the technology will move into that app because it's really strategic. And I think you'll see this too, where you'll see the games really do have a purpose inside of them, whether it's helping you connect to some key people at the event, or it's helping your goals of learning some, and not only learning, but actually testing retention of some key information that they're trying to give out during the event. I think those are all the other pieces of technology that will come with it. And then I think there's some other, you know, whiz-bang things that could happen with it. I mean, the games, we've seen some games actually use augmented reality, mm-hmm. where things, they could point the phone at certain places and it would actually deliver information to them. And because it's doing it that way, right, it looks like magic. And most importantly, people will remember it because it's this extraordinary experience that they're having. So it brings things to life.
Yeah. And that'll only continue to get better. Hey, I'm going to have to wrap us up, although I have a million more questions. I do want to let everybody know that John is the chairperson this year. He's actually helping to put the event together. There's an organization called NASAGA, so that's the North American Simulation and Gaming Event. And this year, he's moved it out to the West Coast. I don't guess that he's moved it, but it is going to be in Seattle, Washington, on October 21st through 25th. I have the website for that down there in the text. You can see that. I also mentioned John's book, As We Were starting when I was talking about his bio. And if you're a trainer or if you're responsible for meetings of any kind in your organization, if you have a team that you do meetings, if you're a project manager, his book, 50 Digital Team Building Games, is really, I have certain books that I consider must-have in every trainer's toolkit, and this is one that I added to my toolkit after I met John in Seattle. So, John, any final thoughts before we close out? Anything you want to add, finish with?
Probably two things. One is Nasaga. If you do anything with simulation and gaming, this is one of the oldest organizations, and this year really looks to have the cutting edge in terms of digital gamification as well as board game gamification. So it's going to be an amazing experience in Seattle, Washington in October. Let's see, what do we have the days here?
21 through 25.
That's right, the 21st to the 25th. And then most of all, again, if you have great experiences or a new any questions around gamification at a conference or at meetings, feel free to drop me a line. We'd love to hear your stories. The results that are coming around are very new and it's very early, but they are really positive and amazing. And I'd just love to hear anybody else's stories around using games at a conference.
Thanks again,
Monica.
Yeah, and you can connect with John. You see his Twitter handles below and the website. John, thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Connect with me at monicacornetti.com/gamification. My Twitter handle is @MonicaCornetti. There's a lot of new stuff going on. We have through Sententia, we now have the gamification certification that's out there for any kind of talent development professional. Stay connected, stay in touch, and John, thanks again. Everyone, have a great week.
Thanks, Monica.